Joining us now is our man himself, the co-host of the Sunday Big Sports Breakfast, Daily Telegraph reporter Dean Bulldog Ritchie. How are you, doggy?
Yeah, good morning, man. Yeah, dramatic day in rugby league yesterday. It's always sad when a coach goes, but I guess if you want to be clinical, cold and ruthless, I just don't think South Sydney had any other choice.
No, and you obviously feel for Jason Demetriou.
Well, he's lost his livelihood.
Yeah, most definitely. And I hope he gets another opportunity because, I like him. I respect him. I think he's a very good coach. But it just hasn't worked out for him at South Sydney. So I'm hoping that he's okay, and I'm hoping that he gets another opportunity to prove to others that he definitely can coach. And I think he would have learnt a lot. And I reckon if he had his time over again, some of the decisions that he made while he was in charge, he'd do them differently if faced with the same situation next time.
I've done this job for 37 years now. I cannot recall in all that time such a spectacular collapse of one side stack full of stars. From round 11 last year, leading the comp, the Tab actually deposed Penrith as premiership favourites.
Yeah, they
South
did.
Took over as premiership favourites, which was quite a momentous moment because Penrith, I think, had been clear favourites for 3 years. Yeah. And since that day, the slide just couldn't be stopped. Mm. I think it's 5 from 22 games.
Well, that just doesn't happen, Bulldog. That just doesn't happen.
What happens, O'Grubber?
Well, I want to ask you. We hear things. What can you honestly... What do you honestly think happened?
Well, like you, we hear things too in the media. I mean, I'm not like you guys again, inside those four walls.
Well, people always text us, and we always feel like saying, well, we're only speculating like you. We don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know unless people tell us. We can speculate, but you don't know.
We hear from player managers and sources in and around the club, but some of those are agenda-driven, so you've got to be a bit careful what you write there because you're thinking, well, maybe it's
everyone's
not
looking
true.
After their own... Of course.
But look, yeah, clearly what Sam Burgess said last year, in hindsight, may well have been spot on.
Well, he didn't say much.
He didn't say much publicly, again, Minnow, but behind the scenes, I think he was his thoughts were being leaked out to the media. And it goes back to the old theory, did JD give South's senior players too much say and too much power?
Why two board meetings in the one day?
I don't know, Laurie. I've never seen that before either. All I can think of is that...
Time zones.
Right. James Packer and Mike Cannon-Brookes are overseas and assume, well, obviously, they would want to have a say. I'm not even sure where Russell Crowe is. I think he might be back, but I'm not sure. So I assume that it would have to be done professionally and through time zones.
Right. And in those board meetings, do you think Wayne Bennett was discussed?
I've got no doubt.
Yeah.
I think he's the first choice and probably their second choice.
I'll phrase it differently. So if Wayne was the what was discussed yesterday, they will target him today? Or do you think that some conversations happened before that board meeting occurred yesterday?
I think conversations would have happened before. I don't think you sack a coach unless you've got someone else ready to go. I think they've made contact with Wayne. I think it's all systems go. I think he will be announced in the next couple of days. Yesterday's board meeting, Laurie, obviously goes down to the mechanics of the situation, i.e. JD's payout, the legalities, HR, all those issues which you have to go through when you terminate somebody's contract. And obviously he's had, I think, 2 years to go, was it, Josh? Or 3 years to go. So even that was a little bit complex in that it was a long-range contract which had to be snapped in two.
There's four parties that own the club. Is that right? Who holds the power? So you've got Packer.
Yep.
You've got Cannon-Brookes.
Yep.
You've got Crowe. And you've got members. Who ultimately...
You've got makes supporters, and I think the juniors might have
one. Which is the members. That's part of that members group. So
correct.
That's 25%. So it's split four ways. Who's got the power?
I think... Geez, Laurie, put me on the spot here. I always thought that Russell had one more director than the others.
I think
James and Mike Cannon-Brookes have got one each. There's a supporters element which own 25%. Nick Pappas looks over that, and he has then been elevated onto the main board as the chairman as well. Look, I don't know whether it was unanimous. I wasn't inside that board meeting yesterday, But you get the feeling that Souths were quite patient with JD over the last month or two. They could have pulled the trigger 3 or 4 weeks ago. They waited. They gave him another game or two. They got flogged again on the weekend. The only surprising element, I would say, is that I was a bit shocked they made the decision yesterday. They could have made it after the bye, and it could have been a little bit easier for the players. But we're now only, what, 24, 36 hours away from Penrith.
Let's just say Bennett doesn't go there. Who's their next target?
Gee, good question. Josh, I mean, obviously Sam's been in the background. I don't think he'll come back yet. I don't think Sam's ready. He's only 10 games into his professional coaching career. I don't think there's any doubt that Wayne will get it. I don't think Souths are even looking at an option B at this point in time. Look, Souths have got some big personalities in that side. Yeah. We know that. And perhaps JD couldn't corral those big personalities at times. But we do know one thing about Wayne. He's getting older. Maybe the technical side of the game, he needs some support.
Yeah.
But in terms of pulling some heads, clunking some heads together, like Larry Moe and Curley in the old days, I think Wayne's the man that will do it. And there'll be no players stepping out of line.
How will it work then, Bulldog, if Wayne comes in for 2 years and addresses all the problems that need to be fixed now because he keeps the players happy, but then Wayne leaves in 2 years? Are we then left with a similar problem?
Loz, that's looking into the crystal ball. I don't know. I would imagine that South would be considering bringing someone in with Wayne.
Yeah, but that's what he did before.
With JD?
Yeah.
And hand it over.
Yeah. It's
generally the way they do it these days. That particular case didn't work, no. But Christian Wolfe is a similar situation. Look, I think there's an inevitability that Sam Burgess will coach South one day. I just don't know when. When his contract finishes in England, whether Wayne is still at South and whether he comes along for the last year or so. But I think,
you think
it'll
Sam
be
would go back and coach that same playing group?
I think he would in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like in a couple of years when some of those might be
gone.
I've got no doubt Sam wants to come back to Australia. His life's in Australia now. And if he can be given a plum job, I think he would take it in a flash.
All right, Blake Solly, it looks like he is just fronting the media there at Heffron Park in Maroubra this morning. So we might see if we can take some of that. I don't think we can we? We'll have a crack.
I think the board wanted to give it as much consideration as the subject deserved, really. Dismissing a coach is never easy. We've got a great board who consider every issue very diligently and do their job properly. And as I said, dismissing a coach is never easy, and they want to give themselves enough time, give it appropriate consideration before coming to a unanimous decision.
The results speak for themselves, but you just couldn't keep going down the same path you were going down?
Yes.
Like, what happened between the first meeting yesterday morning and the last meeting before we made the decision?
Yeah, I think Jason had presented the board with some information in the morning, and the board wanted to give that some consideration. It was a fairly extensive document, and in fairness to Jason, they wanted to give that's some consideration. Our chairman's in London at the moment for business, so unfortunately we probably would have reconvened a bit earlier, but not many people making great decisions at 2 a.m, so he needed to have a sleep, and then we could reconvene later in the evening when he'd woke.
Is JD still fighting for his job at that time?
Yeah, JD, like any coach, thought that he was able to turn performances around, and that with a few more players on deck and with a few changes to the team and the game style, that we would regain our form.
Played 2 weeks ago, you considered sacking JD, you didn't do it. You play one game against Melbourne, albeit a poor performance.
Yep.
But it was one game. Why did it change so dramatically after one game?
I think our view was that the one game was indicative of probably an inability to turn around, and that we needed to make a quick decision. Unfortunately, we didn't think that Jason's coaching style would be able to get the change we needed or the improvement we needed, and given that we sit at 17th of the table and our for and against is 50 points worse than 16th, I think now is the time to make the change.
Can you understand people looking at this and thinking this club's a bit of a rabble at the moment?
Yeah, I think rabble might be a strong word, but it's I can understand. Word. Look, I can understand that it hasn't been a particularly consistent or smooth sailing over the last few weeks. So, but we've tried to support the coach and tried to give him as much of our backing as we could, but I think over the weekend everyone realised that change was needed, and unfortunately the change had to be Jason.
Like, I know you're not a coach, but when you say you felt that JD's coaching soul wasn't going to fix it, what do you think the downfalls were in terms of that coaching soul?
Look, first of all, I want to say that Jason's an incredibly hardworking coach. He's a good person. We've worked together for 5.5 years. Very strong values and a great family man. But in our view, we just felt that the style of play and probably Jason's management of the players needed to change. And that's no criticism of his heart, his work ethic or how hard or how much effort he's put in. But we just felt that we needed a change in management.
His agents came out this morning and said he was treated poorly, treated shabbily. What do you respond to that?
I don't agree.
In what respect? I
think that Jason's been 3 years here as an assistant coach. Was appointed to succeed Wayne very early on in his tenure as an assistant. The club gave Jason every single opportunity to have success, and for half of that period here, he did. But results over the last 12 months haven't been good enough for a club of our stature. And whilst it's no criticism of Jason how hard he works, the last 20 games will speak for themselves. And for his agent to say that he's been treated shabbily in the context of a year's worth of patience and support, I think he's unfair. And I'm not sure that Jason would share that view.
Like, can you talk about the management of players? And can you just clarify that? Are you referring to stuff last year about management of the players?
No, I'm talking about the whole of the squad and ensuring that every player in the squad can perform at their best on the NRL stage.
Like, had Jason lost interest?
No.
Okay, we'll leave it there. So, some of Blake Solly speaking to the media there in the wake of Jason Demetrio's sacking yesterday, Bulldog.
I spoke to Blake the other day, and South's theory through this episode wasn't just what's happened in the last few weeks. Mm. They have taken into account the 21 weeks where South have been failing. And in their eyes, that's the equivalent of an entire season, which have gone down the drain. Mm. It's sad, but it's factual. Yeah. They had to make a change. And I like JD Laurie. I'm like you. Yeah. He's always very good to the media. But I think a time comes when you just have to pull the trigger and be ruthless.
Well, there was one thing that stood out for me there in that press conference was he said, we made the decision to change because of the style of play, which is fine. But then he also said the management of the players. I wonder what he meant by that.
I think the last question he was prompted again to elaborate, and Blake didn't suggest anything in particular, but whether that was a reference to what happened last year
but
with Sam
when you
Burgess.
Say management of players, that's not talking about the management, because that's style of footy. That's
I know what you mean.
It's management of players is how you're dealing with those players individually.
And that, sorry, Loz, but this seems that the players are going. We're going above JD. Well, how does he know what the management? He shouldn't really know the management of the players' side of things.
Blake Solly?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they're going to him
directly.
Well, I don't know, Josh. In terms of what football clubs are like, people whisper, people talk all the time. Whether it's in front of your face or behind your back, it goes on every single day. But Blake Solly's not silly. If there were things going on behind the scenes, he'd sniff it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think, have the management now changed their whole view on how this group needs to be managed? Because last year, Sam said that they need to be harder, tougher, stronger, and we need to treat them differently to how we're treating them now. And they said, no, we're going to back the coach's management style. So I don't know whether JD had changed his style or not, but if he continued along that management path, now are they saying, well, they've got it wrong too?
Well, clearly the path that JD was on, whether we like to say it or not, was the wrong path because of the results. Yeah. No matter what you say about off-field issues, dramas, innuendo, backstabbing, it comes down to results, doesn't it? Bottom line in a rugby league club.
No,
it's a
results-driven I'd like to just know what he meant by management of players. That's all. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Is it they need to be stronger with their players? We need to go back to what Wayne did with our players.
Well, that's exactly right, Loz, because they say Wayne Bennett's the best man manager in the game. He's not the hardest. I've mentioned before, I don't think they do wrestling and stuff under Wayne. Sam Burgess is a hard-nailed guy and will be like that as a coach. So maybe he's saying for that for that team, they need someone like Wayne. And it might not be pushing him to the absolute limits at training or doing this, but that's what he feels will be get the best out of this squad because they've played under him before.
Courses for courses, isn't it, Grub? Mm. Some coaches might take a certain approach based on the personality of that roster.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think JD could get him out of it, Loz.
No.
I think he was in a hole that was just too deep, and no matter how long they kept him on this year, I don't think he was going to get out of it.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you at all, mate. What I'm saying, me personally, I'd just like to know. I'd like to know what they're looking for and what the reason was that how he couldn't get them out of how they were performing. You know, is it because he was bit soft on him, or was it because he was too hard on him? I just want to know what management of players means. That's all.
I think JD's got an edge to him, Loz, which is a bit brutal. I don't think people should be lulled into the an infactual element where they think JD was a soft touch. I don't think he was. Whether he gave the senior players too much say and too much influence is still open for debate. But I don't think he was a soft touch.
Dean Ritchie joining us. Bulldogs Bite, his column in the Daily Telegraph today. You've written about the Cronulla Sharks. I wouldn't be going to Shark Park in the next maybe month, Bulldog.
Yeah, I wrote a story, Middo, about the
what
Sharks.
What have you got against
today.
The Sharks?
I've got nothing against the Sharks. I've got nothing against the Sharks. I just wanted to write a column, though. And you guys are idiots. Doing the finger thing they do at Shark Park. I just said they are competition leaders, but I still think there's a soft underbelly there. Am I right or am I wrong?
Jeez,
you blokes
tough.
Have played first.
No, I think their draw's been soft.
Has been soft.
Except for round one. They're winning against the Warriors over there.
I never had the Sharks winning the comp this year, and I don't think they can, but I'll get a better read on them in the next 6 weeks because someone pointed out who their draw is.
Yep.
So if they can come out of that period and win the majority of their games and not get blown away, I'll possibly change my mind.
They've got the Dragons this weekend.
Yeah, that's a win.
And then they've got, what about this? Melbourne away,
yep.
Roosters home, Panthers home, Parramatta away, Brisbane away.
Roosters is magic round.
Five weeks of hell for the Sharks.
Can I reserve my decision until then?
Of course you can. You can do whatever you like.
That's beautiful.
But
now.
There has been a fragility, though, about the Sharks in recent years. They've lost six straight finals, and they've won one, rather, of their last nine finals. And why is that?
That'll be playing in the back of their heads.
As much as you say it, Josh, you don't read into it. We don't worry about that. That's in the past. As a player, though, it's got to be in the back of your head.
100% you do.
Yeah.
Like, you get to that, it's different. Semi-finals is a different ballpark.
Yeah.
No one cares what you've done in the season. No one cares. And this is the Sharks' problem. I'm looking at their team list now. Unreal roster. They got guys like Tommy Hazelton stepping up, like playing amazing footy.
Wilton is playing well.
Their back rows are unbelievable. Yeah. I love him. Yeah. Their back rows run probably the best lines in the game. Yeah. And there's like you got Cameron McInnes, who's just an absolute warrior week in, week out.
He'll be playing Origin.
But it doesn't matter. When it comes to that fight, I don't know what it is. They just don't. They don't have the belief. I think it's in the group. There's something in that group that they do not. They don't have the belief.
Genuine belief.
There's something, isn't it, Loz? They'll probably be listening. Whether they listen to this or not, these blokes are crazy. Yeah. But there's something there. When it comes to that end of the season, you've got to have the belief to beat anyone anywhere.
It's funny, you know. I look back on time that I played, I don't know, it's going back a long time, but if I'm in a group and I hear Mal Meninga, or I hear Ricky Stewart, or I hear a Bradley Clyde, or a Steve Walters, or a Glenn Lazarus say, boys, we can do this, and we're going to do X, Y, and Z, like, there's no, I'm unsure, there's total belief, you go, yeah, you're right, we can do this. With the Sharks, who's that guy or two guys or three guys that they're looking to and go, you know, when he says something, we're going to do it.
You know,
and we get it done.
It was Dale Finucan, and he's finished.
That's a blow. Cam McInnes is probably one of them.
Mm. Yeah, I agree, Mido.
Yeah, but the issue is when they haven't done it and they've been there for a while.
Do you think
it's different if you're starting and you won when you haven't won? Trying to get that, like, there's difference between that strong belief and disbelief and
yeah, mate.
Yep. We're on board. It's that like when some of that massive stature in the game says something, you actually you're right on board and you believe it. And I was lucky that I had so many in the team. But I'm just wondering who they are at the Sharks. And you mentioned Dale and you're probably right.
Well, sometimes it's unsaid, Loz. Those guys don't have to say anything.
Nah.
In that Penrith team,
well, Mel used to always say, "We're doing this,"
and you'd follow him.
Like there wasn't. Yeah. I want you to do this. We're doing this.
Okay, so last year, anyone but Penrith in that grand final probably lose by 40 if the Broncos kick on. But Penrith have that belief. They know, as a team, what they can do in big games on the biggest stage. Nathan Cleary, look what he done. Okay, so let's just say the Sharks finish on top of the table. They get home semis. That doesn't matter for the Sharks. It's still in the back of their head. They lost to the Cowboys at home in that prelim when they should have won. So that's in the back of their mind. That's another thing, because the home ground advantage, I feel, Loz, in the back end is a big thing.
Yeah.
Especially for someone like Shark. No one wants to play at Shark Park. Terrible oval. Windy, wet conditions. But the Sharks seem to play their best there. But then when it comes to those games, what is it?
I assume this is the case, Josh. Do players among themselves talk about rival clubs who might have a soft underbelly, where you might say, look, this team I've got no rap on? I mean, you must talk among yourselves about the fragilities or strengths of other sides. And I wonder what players these days say about Cronulla.
Absolutely you do. And you sing, during video sessions, you single them out. You will say, this guy, okay, he might be the best attacking player in the game. But I'll tell you what, coaches will be like, look at his defensive, look at his movements, look at his tie-in, look at his second efforts. A lot of fans don't see that type of stuff, but they're the guys that you pick out, and they'll get found out in big games. They're the ones that you go after.
60 seconds, Bulldog. The Roosters have $1 gazillion to spend coming up in their salary cap. Who could end up there?
Yeah, they've got about $4 million, Middo, after this year with the exodus of a number of key players. I'm told that there is interest in Katoni Staggs and Selwyn Cobbo. No offer's been made. No decision has been finalised just yet. But the mail out of good sources in and around the camp is that Staggs does desperately want to stay in Brisbane, but they think Selwyn could be lured out. So I think if the Roosters do go after one of those two, it's now firming that it will be Selwyn Cobbo. But let me stress, no deal's been done, no talks have opened, but it's a watch this space.
Potentially he and Billy Smith in the centres.
Yeah.
If
just
that
doesn't strike me as
fruition.
A Sydney boy, Selwyn.
Possibly not. I would have gone the other way, thinking Staggs is more of a Sydney
boy.
Yeah,
I would have thought
but
so too.
Who knows?
Thank you, Dean.
Thanks for having me.